We have read this evening from Romans chapter 8, although I will not be preaching directly from that passage. One of the points I trust to make will reference a portion of Romans 8, not the portion we read. But what I would rather do this evening is go through with each of you students and each person here five basic principles, five biblical truths, which should be governing truths of all that we do. Five things which should provide understanding for every human being as to what life is and what we ought to do with it, therefore, understanding what it is. So, there'll be 5 points, and anybody that teaches preaching knows you never teach students to preach 5 points. Sermons are supposed to have 3 points only, aren't they? But I'll have a few more than that, 5. I've told people I have had lessons in sermon preparation, but I've not let them interfere with my preaching at all. So we will proceed to consider these 5 truths, and I trust to do it promptly. But if I see any of you sleeping, I will stop and wait for you, so you'll only make it longer if you try a trick like that. So listen carefully, as these 5 things ought to be a part of our understanding in all that we do. Point number one, it's all about Jesus Christ. Now, can you remember that? Simple English language, easy to remember. It's all about Jesus Christ, but that is probably the most forgotten thing in all of humanity. The scripture tells us there in Colossians chapter 1, and you've heard me mention this in chapel before, at least I hope you did, because I know I've mentioned it in chapel before. Colossians chapter 1, all things were created by him and for him. And in Revelation chapter 4, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive honor and glory and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Everything is created for Jesus Christ. We just happen to be riders that are along for the ride, but it's about him. And this is something made clear not only in those specific texts of Scripture, all things are created by him and for him, for his pleasure, but it's made clear by the theme of the whole of Scripture, which begins in Genesis, looking ahead to the coming of a Savior, a Deliverer, the seed of the woman who would crush the serpent's head, and looking backward from the book of Revelation to the completed Scripture, from beginning to end, it's all about Christ Jesus and God loving his own Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and an expression of love for his Son, so ordained that everything, nothing excluded, would be brought into being, and would be brought into being by him, and would be brought into being, created, not evolved, for him. And so that's what it's all about. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so if you do not live with that consciousness, if your life is not guided by that understanding, then you are off in the dark, wandering in a lost condition with no direction, no focus, no understanding of the what or why of human existence. This explains why the people who are the heroes of our age, you know, the movie star types, the Hollywood types, the entertainment types, are people with such a lost existence. They don't know what to think, what to believe, what to do next. They run to the latest fad, wanting to stay on the wave of whatever it is, having no idea that it's not about them, but it's about Christ, the whole thing. All things are created by him and for him. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about any one of us. It is all about Jesus Christ. And if we miss that, we miss what it's all about. If we miss that, we miss the whole purpose, the whole thrust, the whole reason for the existence of anything. And if we don't have any understanding of the what or the why, then we don't have any understanding. And we are left to wander idly and unproductively. How many people are struggling and striving, trying to find the meaning of their life? Why do I exist? Why am I here? What's it all about? And the answer is very simple. It's all about Jesus Christ. And if you can learn that simple, thoroughly biblical lesson, then you have an understanding of why the world is. And if you understand why the world is and why you are, then you can fall into that why and live to that purpose and have a life that is really a life of meaning instead of the meaningless existence that most of humanity is struggling through, trying to grasp this spider web or that one to find some kind of meaning in existence. It's all about Jesus Christ. And so, we seek to live for Him. We seek to know Him. We seek to understand His will as it's revealed in the Scripture. We understand what we've sung tonight. Let the world deride or pity. I will glory in Thy name. And we accept the fact that a world that is lost, rejecting Christ, rejecting the whole meaning for everything that is, cannot possibly find contentment or gratification or personal sense of meaning for themselves. But you can, we can, because we know what it's about. It's all about Jesus Christ. A second truth. It's all about Jesus Christ who said this. Ye must be born again. That's the second truth. You must be born again. Everybody listening? You're all here tonight because you were born once. Doesn't take any brains to figure that out, does it? But that's not enough. You've got to be born again. And just as your first birth was something that you didn't cause to happen or orchestrate yourself, but something that God Himself did when He created you within your mother's womb and nurtured you through development until birth 9 months later, so it is to be born again is a work of God. And it should be a matter of careful consideration to every one of you, has that work of God occurred in my own experience? Several days ago, an underclassman young lady came to me, concerned about whether she had really been saved. She had heard a message from Mr. Fleming in chapel, and it had set her to thinking. And some of her classmates as well. Have I really been saved? That ought to be a matter of concern. That ought to be something that you explore carefully with the Scripture. Have I truly been saved? And especially you coming through a Christian school and from Christian homes, because you have been reared in homes where you hear about the gospel of Christ and in a school where you hear about the gospel of Christ. In other words, your world, which is still kind of small right here in this part of the country, this part of the world, is a world where Christianity is doubtless far more prominent than most other places, and consequently, you are brought up in a culture that is different from an absolutely pagan land. And it is a great danger that you would simply ride along on the culture rather than experience Christ Himself in the new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. He was talking to Nicodemus, one of the most religious men of his day, who was riding his culture that he had been reared in, but he had never been born again. And I fear many times young people who've been reared in Christian homes and Christian schools have done what they were told to do. They said the sinner's prayer, they did this, they did that, and they went through all the religious ritual, and it was nothing more to them than a ritual. Even though they may have seemed sincere in doing it, they've never met God. Never been born again. I trust that you search your own heart. It's all about Jesus Christ. And ye must be born again. Have you been born again? Do you know that you've been born again? And if there is any question at all about it, rather than suppress the question and say, well, I took care of that long ago, feed the question and examine and search and go to the Scripture and let the Scripture search your own heart, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. That's what Scripture itself teaches us. And only through the Word of God will you have the faith which is that which accompanies the new birth. You must be born again. A third principle, follow the instructions. You ever heard that before? Follow the instructions? How many have heard that before? Well, some of you aren't too excited about it, though. Well, may you get excited about it. Follow the instructions. And when I speak of the instructions, I'm speaking of the instructions that God has given us, the Word of God. This world is filled with slime pits and pitfalls of all manner that you don't even know about. And before you realize it, you can be in them. The Scripture says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. Lane Bucci was 18 years old, grew up in Salt Lake City, and his friend Taylor Montague, likewise 18 years old, grew up in the same city. They were both working at a summer job at Yellowstone National Park out there in the west, where the geysers come spewing out of the ground, where Old Faithful bursts off right on schedule around the clock. And there, as they were working for the summer at summer jobs with all of those tourists, they met another girl by the name of Sarah Hulfers, who worked as well. She was 20 years old and was from the state of Washington. Two of them worked in the restaurant that was in one of the main lodges. Another one, I think it was Taylor, cleaned rooms and made beds for guests staying in the lodge. And after a day of work, they would slip off with a large group of people their age to go to a place that was called the Lower Geyser Basin, where there was a river that they would swim in and play in for the rest of the afternoon, and often until dark, or at least till dusk. And so there they were having a grand time. And one afternoon, as they were together with the group swimming, the hours clicked past rather quickly. They didn't recognize how fast time was going. The sun was sinking in the west, and before they knew it, it was dusk. The sun was setting, and so they decided they better start back toward the road where their cars were parked. It was about a half-hour walk up the trail from that portion of the Lower Geyser Basin to the road, and these three, Lance and Taylor and Sarah, thought to themselves they would take a little shortcut to get to the road faster, go a way that they hadn't come. And so off they went on their own through a rather dangerous area. There are wild animals and grizzly bears and all sorts of dangers to be found there, to say nothing of the dangers of the hot springs. Often are just below the crust of the earth, and there are signs all over the place to stay on the trail, not to get off of the trail, to stay where it's marked and safe to walk. And so as they took their unfamiliar trip back toward the road, they came to a stream to jump across. And they held hands and took their jump across the stream, but found out that it wasn't the shallow stream they thought it was, but it was a 10-foot deep entrance into a cavern which was filled with water, and it was the hot water coming up out of the ground. That water, the specialists tell us, if you were to sit in a pool of water, a tub of water at 113 degrees for 3 hours, the effect of that would be to begin killing the layer of skin on your body and affecting the blood vessels. In other words, whatever was soaked in the water for that amount of time at that temperature would suffer third-degree burns on that part of your body. And if it's much of your body, that is a serious injury. If you up the temperature of the water just 7 degrees to 120 degrees, the injury that it would take 8 hours to receive at 113 degrees will occur in 8 minutes. And if the temperature of the water is increased another 20 degrees, that injury, which would take 3 hours at 113 degrees, will take place in only 5 seconds. And if you increase the temperature to 156 degrees, the injury will take 1 second. They leaped across a stream, so they thought it was, which was in fact a superheated hot spring coming out of the ground at 178 degrees Fahrenheit. Sarah went completely under the water. The two boys managed to keep their heads above the water and get to the side quickly, but the damage was done. And as they were able to scream for help and people came and found them off the trail, Sarah was, of course, very seriously injured. They rushed them as quickly as they could, and it took some time to get to a hospital in Wyoming. They were flown to that hospital by helicopter. They immediately recognized there that that was not a sufficient facility, and so they were put on a plane and flown to Salt Lake City Burn Center, where within 24 hours, Sarah was dead, and the two boys burned over 90% of their body with third-degree burns, were expected not to live. As the days progressed, they made slow progress, but it would be 20-some surgeries apiece to try to take care of the damage, and their lives would be irreparably changed. Now, there's a lesson in such a tragic story. Stay on the trail. Follow the instructions. Don't embark out on your own in territory that you've never been. Go by the book. Follow the instructions. You're graduating from a Christian school where you've had chapel every week, Bible every day for years, and teachers who in every subject area look to the Lord Himself and are endeavoring to teach truth in a Christian framework and a Christian mindset. Follow the instructions. Stay with the book. No one has ever followed the instructions of the Scripture and wound up being a shipwreck or a loser. And if we pay heed to the path that is clearly marked by the signs of this word, this book is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, it will spare you from great and devastating destruction. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That text of Scripture is repeated twice in the Word of God, word for word, so significant it is. There is a way, singular, one, a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways, multiple, of death. Follow the instructions. Hold to the truth that is revealed to you, because it's all about Jesus Christ. Because ye must be born again. Follow the instructions. A fourth matter to remember. Don't be fooled by the mirage. Do you know what a mirage is? You've gone down the highways here in the hot summer, perhaps driving or riding with somebody else, and you've seen the water on the road ahead of you. But when you get to it, there's no water there at all. It was just an illusion. It was a mirage. It looked like water, but it was not water at all. Speaking of national parks in the West, if you've ever been in Death Valley, California, Death Valley National Park, and you look out across tens of thousands of acres of flat, hard-baked sand, lower than sea level, the hottest place on the earth, and you see in the distance what looks like a lake, but as you drive toward it, there's no lake there at all. It's just more of the same. Now, how many times people trudging through those deserts in past years have seen that and thought to themselves, there's what I need. I'm about to die of thirst, and there's the water. And with the last thrust of energy, they press toward it only to get there and find out there's nothing. That's what this whole world system is about. I just heard the news this morning in the car as I was driving to a meeting that Justin Bieber is in trouble. Does it surprise you? Justin Bieber's in trouble. Everyone knows who he is, don't you? Evidently, he has been racing through his gated community, I think in his Ferrari, at interstate highway speeds when it is a private community with a speed limit of 25 miles an hour. And there he goes. Isn't he somebody? He's got great success and fame, and the girls around the world love him, and he's rich. He's filthy rich. He can buy anything he wants. He can do whatever he wants. He's gotten to the top. You see, people who have gotten to the top don't have to race through gated communities at 75 miles an hour when the speed limit is 25. They don't have to ride down on their two-wheel, whatever it is. I don't know what it's called and don't care what it's called. Don't even tell me about it. But ride on those with a marijuana joint in their mouth, as he was seen doing. The point is this. The trendsetters of our day, whose pictures are plastered on the front of People magazine, as well as the bedroom walls of their fans, and who are held up to be the icons of our culture, you find among them the biggest losers who don't know why they are or what they are, and so they'll do anything to get more attention to themselves, and when they've gotten it, it's still not enough. It only drives them to want something bigger and better. And the only place they seem to be able to get bigger and better is to have a bigger high, and so they continue till they overdose and kill themselves. Because they've been chasing a mirage, they have seen an imagined success, and they're driving for it. And millions of people your age are racing after them, trying to look like them, act like them, live like them, never realizing that they're following somebody who is soon going to go over the cliff and anybody who follows as he's going will go over with him. It's a mirage. It's not true. It's not real. It's a lie. It's a loser's end. It's not about being on the cutting edge of the latest wave. It's about Jesus Christ. It's about being born again by the power of Christ. It's about following the rules, the instructions, the guidelines, which will take you to reality and away from a mere mirage. It's about following that which will lead you to everlasting life and to mansions of glory forever. So the scripture says concerning heaven itself, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You can never have fullness of joy here. And those who are pursuing joy never find it. Oh, they might have a momentary euphoria, a momentary excitement and a high, but they never find joy. They're still searching, and each effort ends ultimately in disappointment. And then they start to look for another goal, another joy, which will do no more than the former one did. You see, satisfaction exists only in the spiritual realm. It doesn't exist in things. Once you have them all, you realize you still don't have anything. You're still empty. It doesn't exist in reputation. Once you've got your fame and your millions of fans and all the money they've wasted on you, you're still as empty and hollow as when you started off. There's no satisfaction there. But the writer of Psalm 17 said this: as for me, I shall behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Satisfaction will only be in the spiritual realm. You with me? Everybody listening? It's all about Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Follow the instructions. Don't be fooled by the mirage. It's the devil's lie, and he is a liar, and a mean one at that. Fifth, there's a Bible principle that you need to contemplate carefully. Briefly put, our Lord says, for unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. You would be better off to live in a country where you would be born and die never hearing the name of Jesus Christ. Better off to be in that condition than to walk out of Harford Christian School rejecting Christ. Because you have received from teachers and from parents and from pastors something that the other guy who lives and dies never hearing the name of Christ has not received. And when you stand before God, you will be held accountable for what you've received. And unto whom much is given, of him much shall be required. You might hate and despise the fact, therefore, that you've come through a Christian school and received Christian instruction all along, because that places upon you a greater burden of responsibility to God than those who come out of the darkest jungles of the world and never hear the gospel. To whom much is given, much shall be required. When you walk out of Harford Christian School with your diploma, you have more than a high school education. You have a standing of responsibility and accountability to God that is beyond by far what your fellow peers graduating from public schools this year have. Because you've received a Christian education, and you will have to answer to God for what you do with it. And having been given much, much will be required of you. So, remember, it's all about Jesus Christ. You must be born again. Follow the instructions. Don't be fooled by the devil's lie, by the mirage that will only lead you to death. And ever remember, to whom much is given, much shall be required. Let's all bow together as we pray. Almighty God, impress upon each of our lives that life is not simply a game or a trifle, but a very sober matter created by Thee and for Thee. So that each of these students and their brothers and sisters who are here tonight, their classmates, their fathers, their mothers, their grandparents, so that all of us remember these five biblical precepts. Not just with a memory that can name a list, but with our hearts being gripped by these truths and our lives being arrested and ruled, governed by them. We desire, O Lord, that these students know true success, and we know that true success is doing the will of God. And so may each one seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Protect them from the devil. Protect them from themselves, for our own hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And make this truth live in each of us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.